My dear friends in Christ, for the first talk of this day of recollection, the topic is the renunciation of the world. And it reminded me of a story that has occurred quite a few times in my life. Usually every time I'm going shopping, just for that one item that I need. I'll go and happen to buy some toothpaste or a toothbrush at Walgreens. And before I know it, I have all these things in my hand. And I don't have the toothbrush or the toothpaste that I initially went in to get yet. I was making my way towards that section of the store. I don't know if it's a guy thing, but I never take a cart or a basket. So I'm carrying these things around and fumbling them through. And usually I realize I don't need a lot of this stuff. I came in to get a toothbrush. And I put down most of the things that I came across and thought I needed or I wanted. When my head is screwed on straight and I'm going shopping, before I walk into the store, I say, I am going to go to the toothbrush aisle, and I'm going to pick up the toothbrush, and I'm going to go to the cash register, pay for it, and I'm not going to pick up anything else. I go, do it, and come back, and that's it. But usually if I don't do that, I'm like, oh yeah, I need a toothbrush. Stop into the store. That thing has happened, and it's happened many times. To my own embarrassment, as sometimes I'm dropping things in the aisles as I'm walking. But do you need a basket? Well, I didn't when I initially came in. Or how about when we are trying to go somewhere in a car? You ever get into a car? Turn it on. And you forgot you had put the emergency brake on. Put it in drive. You have a whole lot of motion, but going nowhere. What's going on? My car's broken. And all these thoughts come into your mind, and then you finally realize, I have the emergency brake on. Or how many of us have, with the emergency brake, gone somewhere? Like, man, my car's just not working right today. I don't know what the deal is. And after about 5 or 10 miles, we find the emergency brake on. I'm like, oops, that's not good. The same thing in the spiritual life. The same thing in life in general. We forget our purpose. We forget our direction. We forget what we are here for. It's like going shopping for the toothbrush. We get distracted by so many different things, and we try to hold on to many different things and do many different things. Before we know it, we're fumbling over all the things that we think are important in our life, and they become stumbling blocks for us. We wonder why we're not making progress, or when we are making progress, it is so tedious and irksome. It's because, spiritually speaking, we have an emergency brake on, something that's stopping us. Our Lord said, His words, we're not talking about saints, we're not talking about priests, we're not talking about holy writers of old, we're not talking about prophets, we're talking about our Lord's words Himself, who said, if you want to be my disciples, let's pause there for a moment. Let's take a look at what He's telling us. want. That is where we must begin this day of recollection, I think, is to examine our wants. Not our brethren's wants, not the world's wants, not everything that's going on around us, but my wants. What is it that I want? And when we come to that answer, I believe it's important for us to ask ourselves, do I really want it and need it? If you want to be my disciples, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. Right at the very outset, when we're holding on to so many different things in the world, so many different things are so important to us, and we have to do this, and we have to do that, and they're not, they're out of order. Some of them are okay to do, to have, but we have placed them out of order. Like we heard some of our speakers yesterday talking about the Sunday thing to do. We go do the Sunday thing, scratch that itch that we have of spiritual need, and then we go and live the rest of the week like what? Worldlings. We go out into the world and become a part of the world, become a victim of the world. And it is here where we must become serious with ourselves. God Himself won't force you to love Him. God Himself won't force you to do His will. Just like the tests He gave the angels, a third of which fell. The test that He has given many who've gone before us. Let's take a look at the apostles. Were they tested? Absolutely, they were tested. Did they all pass the test? Well, actually, all the apostles failed the test. All of them. What about John? Even John did it. John himself tells us. Christ in the Gospels. We hear how He tells the apostles, you will all lose faith in me. The shepherd will be struck and the sheep will scatter. And what is it the first thing the apostles do in when our Lord is telling them this? First, let's paint the whole picture, okay? Our Lord, we're having a celebration. Our Lord is with the apostles. And they're all pretty happy. It's a festival. And our Lord tells them, I have longed with all my life to eat this Passover with you. There's a joy. Then our Lord puts on an apron and starts washing their feet. And they're watching our Lord, looking at each other. Should He be doing this? Comes to Peter. Peter says, you're not washing my feet. You're the Lord. And the Lord said, if I don't wash your feet, Thomas, you shall have no part with me. You have to love Peter. He's a man of extremes. Many times we might find ourselves likened to Peter in this way. No, Lord, okay, then don't just wash my feet, wash my hands and my head. And our Lord said, calm down. Washing your feet's enough. And tells them, you are clean because the apostles, you are clean, but not all. For one of you has a devil. You're like, what a downer. I thought this was supposed to be a party. You all start looking at each other like, And he sees their wonderment. And then he tells them, one of you will betray me. And there you have a whole bunch of commotion. You have a whole bunch of, is it I's? Is it I, Lord? Is it I, Lord? You have one, is it I, Master? That was Judas. He didn't have that relationship with the Lord. He wasn't his dear Lord. He was the Master. He felt himself enslaved. And we had one, who is it? And then our Lord tells them, you will all lose faith in me tonight. Once again, Peter gets all excited and says, even if all lose faith in thee, I shall go to prison and to death. And our Lord tells him, Peter, before the cock crows twice, you will deny knowing me three times. And there you have the first pope before the good Lord cussing and swearing that he's not going to deny him. And our Lord tells him, Peter, I have prayed for you that when you return, you can strengthen your brethren. Yes, they were tested. So are we. What are our temptations? Our temptations are many different things. Most of our temptations come to us from ourselves. And our use of the world that directly surrounds us. These temptations come to us as apparent goods. And far too many people make them the object of their day. The new church on Sunday is the 28 channels of football that somebody can get. Even those that go to church. I have to go to church so I can get back to watch the game. Man, church went long today, didn't it? It was so long. How long was it? It was an hour and 15 minutes. Wow. Let's go watch a football game. About 3 hours. That should be good. Is watching football wrong? Not at all. As long as it's in the right, we keep it in the right perspective, we keep it in the right place. How do we make sure that we keep these things in the right order? Actually, it's very simple. But simple doesn't mean easy. Simple means that we can very easily understand it. But we have to be consistent in doing it. God first, always first. You place Him first in your heart, in your mind, in your day. Then everything else will make sense. Our Lord Himself tells us, seek first the kingdom of God and His justice, and then everything else will be added to you besides. We wonder why we're not making progress in holiness. It's because there's a break on. There's something holding us back. We wonder why we do not find ourselves more perfect disciples of the good Lord. Because we have not followed Him, because we cannot follow Him, because we cannot pick up the cross. We have too many other things in our hands. I remember hearing a sermon one time of a priest talking about Mass. I think it was Archbishop Sheen, actually. And he said, some of you ask, I don't get anything out of Mass. What do I do? Why don't I get anything out of Mass? And Archbishop Sheen said, of course you don't get anything out of Mass. You don't bring anything to it. It's a sacrifice that you're supposed to be a part of. What is it that you're going to sacrifice? At the offertory, we are encouraged to pray with the priest as he holds up the paten. He says, receive, O Holy Father, Almighty God, this spotless host, which I, thy unworthy servant, offer. And then we are encouraged to place upon that host our sins, our faults, our failings. That's where we should put upon the host all those things that we hold on as apparent goods, the world around us. From those things that are monetary to those things that are creature pleasures, oh, we can go down the litany of lists and list these things. Here we have gold and silver, money. We have goods, material goods, house, clothing, whatever. All those things that we hold on to as an end in themselves. We also must consider the pleasures that are there. I think it was Father Ephraim who talked about it yesterday. We become addicts to those things that give us pleasure, whether it be the TV, the internet, iPhones, music. Of course, we have our alcoholics, drug addicts. We have these addictions the world sucks us into. We become addicted to them. And you know what? The first thing, the very first thing, the telltale sign that we're addicted is we say, no, we're not. I'm not addicted. I'm not addicted to coffee. Really? I'm not addicted to TV. Okay. Don't watch it for a week. Give it up for Advent or Lent. No, well, there's nothing wrong with TV. No, there's nothing wrong with it. But there can be something wrong with it. It's the way addiction starts. There's nothing wrong with just one drink or one sip or one pill for a headache, but if we let it go out of control, then we're taking pills for it's a cloudy day and we take a pill. Or, man, I had a little bit of a rough day, so we'd have one or two or three drinks. We have an addictive personnel, an addictive fallen human nature. First thing to do is to admit that we do. In admitting that we do, now we can make progress. You know, with the 12-step programs for Alcoholics Anonymous and those other self-help programs, first thing you have to do is, I have a problem. I think it's based off of true faith. Think about it. Before I can acknowledge the Lord as my Savior, I must acknowledge that I need to be saved. Before I can acknowledge our Lord as my Redeemer, I have to acknowledge that I am a sinner. Remember the two men who came up to the temple to pray? One saved himself, the other asked to be saved. And the two went home, and only one went home justified. The one went home, one went up before the church at the very beginning, or the temple, and says, Lord, I thank Thee that I am not like the rest of men. I. That ego. I am addicted to myself. It's what I think. It's what I want. It's what I need. That's part of the world's mantra. Aleister Crowley, the philosopher of the satanic society, satanic religion, promoted this whole ideology. Do what you will is the whole of the law. Whatever you want. And you find this in the world over and over and over and over and over again. I'm not hurting anybody. How about yourself and your true purpose? Actually, the philosophy of Aleister Crowley is a perversion of the philosophy of the great saints of the Catholic Church, like Saint Augustine, who said, love God and do as you will. If you really love God, if you really love God, then all things are secondary to Him. And will the good Lord be outdone in your generosity of what you give to Him? And you're getting rid of all those things that are a detriment to your relationship with the good Lord? No. I find it interesting. I kind of chuckle every time I read it. And since we're talking about Peter, we might as well not be shy about talking about him more. I like Peter. Peter shows that human tendency, which I know I have. But it's taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew. And Peter asks our Lord, says, Behold, we have left all these things and have followed Thee. What therefore shall we have? What are you going to give to us? What do we get? Reminds me of my students that I teach. Okay, I want you to read pages 37 to 45. Why? What do we get out of it? You won't fail. You won't get detention. And you might pass your tests. Yeah, I know, but what else do we get out of it? And Jesus said to them, Amen, I say to you that have followed me. In the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the seat of His Majesty, you also shall sit on the 12 seats, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's what He gives to the apostles. That's what He's offering them. And everyone, this includes us, so let's pay attention. And everyone that has left house, or brother, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall possess life everlasting. Usually this applies to priests and religious more so, but it can also apply to lay people. One of the holiest men that has ever lived was the good Saint Benedict. He wasn't even a priest. And yet, his relationship with God and his choices in life and his renouncement of the world still affects all good people. His holiness has come through time and still brings into turmoil the things that are of the devil. What are we willing to sacrifice? Are we willing to sacrifice anything and everything in this world for the world to come? Once again, it's a choice that each of us must make. Here I would like to direct our attention to Saint Philomena. People say, well, so-and-so's too young, or I'm not a priest or a religious, or whatever other excuses we come up with. Saint Philomena was a 13-year-old little girl. A 13-year-old little girl who gave herself to God. And she was blessed with beauty. Not even full-blown beauty, as that doesn't take place until later. But her beauty could be recognized. And she was offered the things of this world. And she said, no, I have given myself to another. I have given myself to the good Lord. And those who would have power in this world were not happy with her answer. And so they took her. And they put her through immeasurable sufferings. Pierced her with arrows, tried to drown her, tried to pierce her with arrows that had flames on them, and finally they cut off her head. But she remained faithful. And now she is powerful. Powerful against the devil, against the things of the devil, and powerful in heaven. Oh, I have witnessed her power firsthand. I have witnessed her power against the devil firsthand. Saint John Marie Vianney talks of Saint Philomena and says, to her nothing is refused. To Philomena, nothing is refused. Why? Because she gave up everything for the good Lord. It's easy to point at the saints and to say, oh, that saint was great because of this, and this saint was great because of that. What about us? Do you ever consider yourself a saint?
Me, a saint?
Oh no, I'm too humble for that. I'm not a saint. Really? Then we have a false notion of who our Savior is. Because when we receive the good Lord and He gives to us His grace, His life, His Spirit, and sanctifying grace is within us, we are saints. We're part of the mystical body of Christ. The communion of saints. That's what it is. At the end of this month and the beginning of next, we're really focused on that communion of saints. We focus on the saints actual, those in heaven, the saints eventual, those in purgatory, they'll eventually get to heaven and be with God forever, and the saints potential, us, if we remain faithful. And we make Him a part of our day, each day, every day. in this short time we have in this world and not become victims of the temptations of this world. But we will be willing to let go of all those things that are a detriment to our relationship with the good Lord. If you want. If you want to be my disciples. If. Funny little word that, if. Talked about it many times. But if means choice. If means we decide. Christ makes the division quite clear. You're either with me or you are against me. You either gather with me or you scatter. When our Lord talks about this world, He goes, the prince of this world, I have nothing to do with this world. Because the prince of this world is already judged. Satan came into this world and tempted Adam and Eve, and he won a victory. Therefore, he won the world for a time. Christ came into this world to help us in this world to have victory from time to eternity. Now the choice is ours. You're called to become saints, and not just saints, great saints. Who was it? Saint Catherine of Siena, I think it was. She was given the vision of all the saints of all time, or the saints of the latter time. And she said, these are the greatest saints of all time. Lord, they're so weak. And the Lord says, yes, but they have so much to overcome. I think He was absolutely pointing to us and the currents of the world that surround us that we can so easily be pulled into by the click of a button or a dance of our fingers over the keyboard. And it comes down to letting go and grabbing on to something. Letting out the brake. Giving up some of our creature pleasures. You know, if we just follow the prescription of Holy Mother of the Church, we will find ourselves spiritually successful. Every week we're called to do penance, to give up meat. How many of us do it begrudgingly? Why is it that we're called to give up meat? To fulfill that rudiment of Scripture, that rudiment necessary for salvation, which states, unless you do penance, you shall likewise perish. Or how about those ember days, which are so irksome and bothersome to us? Or how about the penitential season, where there is no set penance to do? Holy Mother of the Church encourages us to do penance. It's all upon the individual's choice. What are you going to give up for Advent? Oh, I think I'll only watch 4 hours of TV instead of five. Well, that's a tough sacrifice. Or Lent comes around. What are you going to give up for Lent? Oh, I'm fasting. Now, what else are you going to give up? You're fasting because you don't want to go to confession and have to tell the priest you didn't fast. And how about all those other days throughout the year that there are no obligations to do penance? How do we fulfill the prescription necessary for our salvation? Unless you do penance, you shall likewise perish. How do we keep ourselves knowing that our purpose is eternal? How do we keep ourselves focused on the Savior, on the Master, who is there in the lead, who we must follow? Or are them following this and that and popular opinion, political correctness, this fashion, that amusement? Oh boy, did you... It was amazing. I had a laugh the other day when I heard how many different 3D movies there were out, different styles. I don't even remember the name of them, but I heard the person telling me, I went through a 3D movie. I'm like, oh, that's nice. Got the glasses. Oh, yeah, but it was such and such 3D DH movie or something. Really? There's a difference? Oh, there's like four or five different types. According to what I understood of what he told me, I go, wow, but this one's better than this one. Another hook. Another thing. Also another thing that's kind of funny, you get a movie that comes out, we'll say like something like Lord of the Rings. Like, oh, so great, so great. Then people buy it on DVD. And then they have the extended version. And then they have the extended director cut version. Then they have the extended version. Before you know it, you have 5 or 6 copies of the same movie. Why? Oh, we needed to see the new thing. It's the way of the world. And that's for something that's not even sinful, necessarily. We can go into the sinful things, but I don't think it's necessary. Let's be wise to what the world has to offer us. Like it says when we pray to the Holy Ghost, make us truly wise, that we may rejoice in His consolation. Let's remember our purpose. Our Lord tells us, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You're not meant to be a part of the world. If you become part of the world, you're no longer light to the world. You become part of the darkness of the world. And the darkness is confounded by the light. No, you are the light of the world. You are meant to be the saints of today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.